The sermon title this morning is Introducing the Holy Spirit, and we're going to start off today in Acts 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. If you could take a little bit of time and read Acts 2 today, you'd probably get a little bit better, fuller understanding of where I'm going with this sermon. And also, this sermon is a little bit of a sword drill. We're going to be all over the place with verses today. So follow along. If you can jot them down, I'll read some of them, I'll reference some of them. If you've got questions about those, let me know later. So anyway, we're going to start off in Acts 2. And let me see. I've got just a little bit of glare on the screen, so that helps. Acts 2, verses 1 through 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. We're talking about the disciples here. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phlegra, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?'" So today is actually a really special day. Does anybody know what it is? It's Hot Air Balloon Day. It also happens to be National Cancer Survivors Day, National Frozen Yogurt Day, National Veggie Burger Day. I am not celebrating that one. Apple II Day. Today commemorates the release of the original Apple II computer. It also happens to be a really special day because today's my birthday. So, well, thank you. But that's not what I want to talk about. Today is another special day. It is Pentecost. Pentecost is a key celebration in our Christian tradition. And as a side note, so I preached Easter earlier this year. I'm preaching Pentecost today, and if I can pick up Christmas later this year, I'll have the big three. So, hey, but we'll see what happens there. But as far as Christians go, it seems that Pentecost is more in the Catholic and Lutheran tradition than in the other denominations. So I really thought it was important to take a look at Pentecost and figure out what's so important about it. So like Easter Sunday lining up with Jewish Passover, Pentecost is a Christian observance that lines up with and actually takes its name from a Jewish celebration, a Jewish holiday. And if you think about that, that is why the disciples were gathered together. That was why all these nations were in Jerusalem, because it was another Jewish celebration, a Jewish holiday. So it happens to be the Jewish festival of Shavuot. And it celebrates the wheat harvest. It's also called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of 50 Days. So where does this 50 days come from? Well, it's actually celebrated 50 days after Passover. In our Christian tradition, we use 7 weeks after Easter. And if you think about it, Easter Sunday is right after Passover, so 49 days for 7 weeks, 50 days. That one day difference is the difference between Passover and Easter. Pentecost actually comes from the Greek word for 50, So we're celebrating, again, 50 days after Passover. So what are we celebrating? Well, as I read in Acts 2, it's the baptism by the Holy Spirit. It's the coming of the Holy Spirit onto the Christians. This is a fulfillment of a promise. And we can go all the way back to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. So how important is this? Later on in Acts, verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17, Peter actually quotes Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. So this is a fulfillment of a prophecy. It's also a fulfillment of a promise. John 15, 26, Jesus promised an advocate, someone who would come and be with the Christians after he had left, be with his followers after he left. So the third thing we want to celebrate here is the founding of the Christian church. Acts goes on to say that over 2,000 people became believers that day. The Christian church was founded on Pentecost. So now that we understand what Pentecost is, I want to change gears here a little bit and talk about who is the Holy Spirit. And to be completely honest, as a young Christian, the Holy Spirit kind of confused me. I didn't really understand. The concept was kind of foreign. I had an idea in my head of what the Holy Spirit is. But as I dig into Scripture and as I mature in my age and as I mature in my Christian walk, I find that my understanding of the Holy Spirit is constantly changing and constantly being refined. So I want to look at some of the characteristics today and some of the truths about the Holy Spirit. And hopefully we can open this up a little bit and realize, you know, let's get a little better understanding of Pentecost. So the first point I want to make here is the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. In Greek, the word spirit is a non-gendered noun. And that leads some translations and some translators to use the pronoun it. Jesus' words from John 15, 26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, a spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So if you listen to some of those key words, an advocate, whom I will send from the Father, the spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Testify, advocate, some of those words. Jesus isn't talking about an influence or a power or something nebulous. He's talking about a person. And we can further see this if we look into other verses and other places in the Bible that talk about the characteristics, titles, and roles of the Holy Spirit. Some of these are actual titles. Some of these take a little bit of interpretation of the Scripture to get to these points. We'll start in 2 Peter 1:21, and we'll come back to this one again. The author of Scripture. John talks a lot about the Holy Spirit in chapters 14, 15, and 16. Counselor or advocate is the translation of one particular word. Convictor of sin, a guide, a revealer, a spirit of truth, a teacher. Then we jump to Paul in Romans, witness in Romans 8:16, and probably my favorite, intercessor, Romans 8:26. Look this verse up. This is one of the coolest verses in the Bible. And kind of a sidebar, what it says is if you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will pray for you. He's intercessory prayer on your behalf. Romans 8:26. It's one of the most, just one of the coolest verses. So anyway, we look at all these verses, author of Scripture, counselor, teacher, witness, intercessor. This is not some, again, a nebulous power or spirit or something force or something weird. This is a person. Just like God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a person and is a part of the Trinity. The second characteristic I want to get into on the Holy Spirit is the fact that He's all-powerful. Sometimes I get caught up in the idea that the Holy Spirit came along at Pentecost. And I had this thought at one point until I started looking at Old Testament Scripture and started looking for the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And He's there. In fact, how early can we find the Holy Spirit? How about this one? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. All the way to the beginning. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Hovered. Was hovering over the waters. That probably isn't the best translated word in the Bible. A better term for the original Hebrew might be brooded. Brooded like a mother bird sitting on her nest, taking care of her nest, nurturing her nest, taking care of her eggs. The Holy Spirit was brooding, taking care of, watching over the creation as it was happening. So not only was the Holy Spirit there, the Holy Spirit was an active participant in the creation of the earth. While Acts 2 was his grand entrance into the biblical story, that influence can be found, the Holy Spirit's influence can be found throughout the Bible if you look around. In fact, we already talked about 2 Peter 1:21. The Scripture is God-breathed. The Scripture was written by man but was given by God. Who? It was actually, according to 2 Peter 1:21, given by the Holy Spirit, who is called the author of Scripture. So not only was the Holy Spirit found throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is responsible for the Bible, responsible for having man write that down. So we're going to move on to the third point here. And we want to start with a question here. What's the first requirement of a good teacher? Is it being a kind person? Is it being a listener? Robin's indicating, pointing at her ear. Maybe. But actually, the first requirement of a good teacher is knowledge of the subject being taught. If you don't know what you're teaching, you know, how can you teach it? 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11 says this. But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except his own spirit within him? So too, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. The deep things of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit knows all there is to know about God. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit is an all-wise teacher, He has the understanding and the knowledge of God to be able to teach us about God and open our understanding of Scripture. The fourth point I want to make is this one. And we're going to start here in Psalms 139, 7 through 10. The Holy Spirit is present everywhere. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. There's something about that scripture I find very, very interesting. And I looked at a number of translations. And here in the NIV it says, if I make my bed in the depths. And a couple of the translations actually translate that as, if I'm in hell. you are there. Wow. Wow. It's a pretty incredible thought to think that the Holy Spirit will follow us wherever we go. Speaking of being followed, estimates say there are over a billion security cameras in the world. The average American is filmed 238 times a week. So we're being followed, we're being watched. But the interesting thing is, so is the Holy Spirit's doing the same thing, observing us wherever we go. And the Holy Spirit is sensitive to our every thought and action. But there's a difference here. I always think of a guy sitting behind a bank of TV monitors watching somebody thinking, don't do that. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit watches us out of God's love for his children and keeping us within the caring, loving circle of God's concern. No matter if we are running from God or to God, the Holy Spirit never stops running with us. He's there. So how do we find that Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit day to day? And sometimes, I've got to be very honest, I don't feel really close to God all the time. Why not? If he's always there, why isn't he apparent to me all the time? Well, that's often going to be my sin, my fear, my worry, and my anxiety that is getting in between the Holy Spirit and I. The Holy Spirit came into this world to provide a constant source of courage and strength that we can reach out to. And that's the key word, reach out to. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he took away all of my fears. I sought. You've got to pursue the Holy Spirit. You've got to pursue Jesus in order to get those. You've got to call out. Jeremiah 33:3 has this promise. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. What a promise. Call to me and I will answer you. Wrapping up today, I just encourage everybody that spirit of the Holy Spirit is there for you. He's present always. The Holy Spirit is all powerful, all wise, present everywhere. So what do we have to fear? With that, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to lift my hands to you and praise you. And I thank you for this time of friendship and fellowship. I pray that we can continue through each day, that we can seek you out, that we can find your purpose for our lives, that we can do your will and do your deeds as we go through each day, Lord. As we leave this place, I just pray for safety. I pray for health and well-being of all those here, those listening. And I pray that you watch over us as we go through each day, Lord. Thank you and amen.